looking in their eyes, I see a memory I never realized. How happy you made me, oh Mandy. Well, you came and you gave, well, I'll take it. But I sent you away, oh Mandy. Well, you kissed me and stopped me from shaking.
Hello, how are you? Welcome, last segment of Brooklyn.
We're back after hiatus.
Yeah, it's been like 2.5 weeks.
Have you had any other guests?
I was supposed to have one, and they flaked on me.
Oh, sorry about that.
It was Barry Manilow. He had some other shit he had to do.
Yeah, he had something to announce.
He had to blow some dudes. So, yeah, that's a good set. Now, I was supposed to do one last week, but with a friend of mine, Greg Johnson, not to name names,
right. But
his name is Greg Johnson. And because he has an album coming out.
Oh, yeah.
It came out on April Fool's Day. And he kind of canceled. It was a rough timing thing. But I think his album was number one on iTunes.
Was it really?
Yeah. Thanks to this. Thanks to almost being on this. That doesn't make any sense. So how have you been?
Great. I don't know.
Okay, same. Cool.
Yeah.
Just
good.
Like doing shows and banging stewardesses. Yeah. No. Yeah. Me neither. So, yeah. So a lot of stuff. That was the thing I just mentioned, Barry Manilow.
Mm-hmm.
I just read about it like an hour ago. Like he's gay or something.
You just found that out?
Yeah, I just saw it on Drudge. Was it today?
I remembered an old joke of yours when that happened.
Yeah, George Michael.
Yeah,
that was actually, I think that might have been the first, it's not the first joke I wrote, but it's the first joke I told that like killed.
Yeah. What was it?
It was, because, you know, I think this was 99 and it was like
George Michael
had just come out of the closet. Like, I think he came out that year. I forgot how it would, it was my big joke because I'd be like, I was really surprised when he came out because I thought he came out like 15 years ago. I thought that's what Wham was all about.
That was it. I thought that's what Wham
was. Yeah, I'm like, that was you in the closet? That was you hiding? When he was dancing around. And I'm like, I always had a feeling he was gay, you know, because when I used to see him dance in videos, he just always seemed really gay.
Or when he posed in that one picture with a wedding dress with the other guy.
Did he do that? Oh, Andrew Ridgely.
They both posed in wedding dresses next to each other, like in the 80s.
Yeah, I just feel like he wasn't even trying to. That was him, like, putting on the ruse of manliness. Because remember, like, the Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go video?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's just like dancing around in these shorts that are just like insane.
Right.
Did you like them?
No. I mean, when George Michael became a solo act, I kind of liked them, I think, a little bit. But that's when they tried to butch him up.
Like, what, they wake me up? Oh, with the solo.
Solo.
Yeah, with like the stubble.
And in the leather jacket.
And he's always, in every video, he's like dicking over some chick.
Right. And then he makes that other album where he talks about how it was all a lie. And everyone was like, what do you mean by it?
Does he say that?
That song, Freedom.
What was the name of that album? The I'm Actually Gay. But Don't Tell Anyone.
But the,
Freedom, yeah.
The song is basically him almost admitting it. He goes, you know, just when I wiggled my ass, you know, it's just.
Oh, yeah. When you shake your ass, they notice fast.
Yeah.
Some mistakes are born to last.
But he was basically admitting it there. That he,
all right, so I'm going to show a little bit of the Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go video. I mean, you can't outplay. I mean, it's just like every. So before I start, I hated them. When this became big.
They're terrible, yeah.
I remember, like, I think I was like 11, and I remember like seeing the video for Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, and they're like dancing around, and they're wearing these weird shirts like Choose Life.
Yeah. But I think those are the style then, those, because remember Frankie Says Relax.
Yeah, but it was definitely a thing. Even though I was 11, I remember watching it and being like, what is this shit? Like this, and I mean, I don't think I said this, but I think it was like I was aware.
What
of
is what, this?
I don't know. This is like an ad before.
Oh,
it.
Okay.
But I was like aware of something being gay, you know?
Yeah.
Like I didn't know the word really, but I was like, this is, seems like homosexual. Like he's.
Yeah, like this is what he's doing here.
Like what? You put the boom boom into my. Like what is it? I just like, I remember seeing. I mean, even the song, he just sounds
right.
Like you can't see, but he's dancing around. He's like shaking his ass, and he's not even wearing. And then I remember seeing the shirt "Choose Life," and I was like, "What does that mean?"
Yeah,
like I don't even understand it now. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Like, don't kill yourself.
I guess
is that
so.
What it means? it just doesn't make any sense. And then, so anyway, what happened was they became like really popular, and like friends of mine like loved them.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, there used to be Tower Records down in the village on like 4th Street. That's where you would go and buy everything. And like, I went with my friends, and my one friend was going to buy a tape. You know, like when you're that age, just
yeah.
like that's a day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was fun.
Going to the store for your friend to buy something.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you going to buy? And he was like, Wham, the new Wham. I don't know what the album was. And I was like, why are you buying that? And they didn't have it, I guess, because it was so popular.
Yeah.
And he bought Run DMC, I think their second album.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, oh, fine, I guess I'll get this. And I was like, this is bad. This is when I was getting into rap. And I was like, why would you want that shit?
Well, let's look at bringing it back to Barry Manilow, because.
Yeah. That was a good segue. But yeah, you took. But anyway, that joke used to. That was the first joke I ever. You probably remember that as a comic too. You always kind of remember.
Yeah,
it was the first joke I told where I was like, oh my god! Like I think it actually. I kind of blame that joke for continuing me to do stand up.
Oh,
like I probably would have stopped.
Right.
But yeah, go ahead, Barry Manilow.
No, go ahead.
You know how that happens. You do stand up, and like I don't know what your experience early on was, but. I had a couple shows that were okay. They were bringers. Like I did all right because I knew people there.
Right.
And then, but then you kind of get out of that bubble of that, and you just go in front of real crowds, and you know,
realize you suck.
You're just not that good.
Yeah.
And I would do shows, and I just wouldn't do one. I remember specifically, I like was looking at a set list, and I was like about to do a show, and I was like, I don't want to do this. I was just like, this isn't like I'm not that good at it. And then I did that joke, and I like kill, like, and it was the first time where, and I think it was a bringer show. I could tell, like, bringer crowds sometimes will laugh, but it's polite.
Yeah.
But it was the first time I could tell that they were like really, they were like, ah,
right.
Like, oh wow, like that was funny. that's interesting.
We could update for that for Barry Manilow, that joke.
Yeah, I wonder if that's an interesting thing. If it would it probably would still work.
What was his gayest song?
I don't know. Just. I feel like any time he just opens his mouth. I mean, I'm not going to be like, oh, he's so gay, but it's not surprising to me that Barry Manilow is gay.
Right. Do you like any Barry Manilow songs?
What are his big songs? Like,
I could say that.
Looks like we made it.
That's not a bad one. The one.
He's such like a your parents liked him
right,
guy.
Right. But you have to look sometimes at things. It's like kind of like Neil Diamond. Like he's a little definitely cheesy, but there are some good songs there. You know,
what did you like Barry Manilow? Because now that I'm thinking about it, I guess he wasn't that bad. I just think of him as shit, but he's not that bad.
Well, I think some of the early stuff was
like his. They,
the one from that movie Foul Play, that was a good song.
Ready to take
I know,
a chance,
but it's a catchy song.
Yeah, no, he was good, especially for the time.
Right, and then Mandy.
I think it was. I just looked him up. They say that was his first big hit. That's a really good song.
Yeah.
Here, this is. Like, that's in the movie Can't Hardly Wait. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah. Mandy?
Yeah. Like, her name is Mandy. Her name's Amanda.
Right. Simpsons, they make fun of it once.
Yeah, this is a good song. It's kind of like... And then I think in Can't Hardly Wait, I think they say it's about his dog or something.
Oh. Well, you know it's not about a woman.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Good song.
Wow, this is a great song.
I like like, I don't care who sings a song. I like a song with a good hook. And
yeah, this is awesome. Yeah. I love how I'm
and
like,
how does that sound
shaved.
Any different than 90% of the songs from the 70s? I mean,
how does it?
It doesn't like sound like you know, it sounds soft, but so many songs and
right,
songs
right.
And like, you know, Jim Croce, people like that, you know?
Yeah.
And they were good songs, so it's not like you can.
Yeah, this is an awesome. Now this I'm going to be listening. I almost guarantee you 2 a.m. I'll be listening to this in bed and crying.
Copacabana, not so much, though.
Yeah, that's a that's a cheesy one. I think what it is like in my head, I can literally just remember being like 5 years old and it playing on the stereo, my parents listening to it. So I just associate it with shit.
Right. I don't think I've ever liked that song. Like, I always knew even as a kid
Copacabana.
That was a fucking bad song.
Well, it's just so cheesy, right?
Yeah.
I think that's when I got off the train, the bus of his. Not that I was ever on, but I might have been like, I feel like there's probably an age that I turned
right.
and like knew that I started to know what I hated. And literally that that moment when my friend was going to buy Wham and I found out about it and then he got Run DMC instead. That was a moment where I like that's one of the first times I can remember me being like, oh, this is what I like. And
right.
Because Wham was so big, and I couldn't believe, you know, these were my friends I grew up with, and I couldn't believe that someone I was that close with would like this shit.
Yeah.
And I was on the outside, and they were mad. That's when I got really into rap music.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, why would you not be into rap? You know, growing up here at that time period in the 80s, mm-hmm. like, I was like, I remember when I first heard rap, and I was like, oh, this is, like, for me.
Right, right.
Like, this is what I'm about now. Like, it's exactly... It's such like a perfect music for a kid. Like, it's so rebellious and it's new and it's different. Yeah.
I felt the same way about Mike and the Mechanics.
Well, yeah, everyone did. you're joking, right?
Yeah.
That's such a rare, like, anyone, not even Mike and the Mechanics felt that way about that. What was that, like, people from Genesis?
Yeah, I bring it up because I heard a song of theirs the other day.
The Living Years?
That one, and then there was like
The Living.
It was the guy who didn't sing in Genesis. He just played the guitar. And
he was so good they wouldn't let him. He had to go to his own band.
He went to another band, but he didn't even sing in that band. He just played the guitar in that band.
Oh, really? Who was the singer in that one?
They had like a couple of them. One of them, I think, was actually a lead singer from Squeeze, which was,
oh, you know, was it?
That's a cool group. You know?
They were good. Yeah. And then they formed a band called Split Ends. Do you remember?
Who?
ENZ. It was a couple of the dudes from Squeeze.
Oh, really?
Interestingly enough, this is I remember, I retain such weird information. Like, the first video I ever saw on MTV was Split Ends. It was the summer that MTV started. I guess it was like 82.
Right.
And I think I was like out in Long Island for the summer. Do you remember like when they kept being like, yeah, MTV is coming?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, all right.
I remember, I was just thinking about, I actually think I down one of the early videos on MTV. Like, MTV, until Michael Jackson, wasn't really black.
Right.
Know, that was like the thing.
So they wouldn't play him, right?
Right. So they would find these certain groups that they would play. With Split Ends, obviously a white group, I would imagine.
Right. They wouldn't play Michael Jackson, but Split Ends. Imagine like being Michael Jackson, like submitting for MTV. Like, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. And then you watch it.
We got the Bugles or whatever, the fucking video.
The Buggles.
The Buggles.
That was the first video. I mean, that's actually a really clever opening. Yeah.
But I remember they used to play, like, Robert Plant had this one album that wasn't that good, but they just played it a shit out of it.
Was it like with like Big Log?
Yeah, and I'm in the Mood.
I'm in the Mood for a Melody.
Yeah.
And Big Log is just like depressing. I like that song, but it is funny. I used to watch MTV early on, and you know, they had so little content because there were so few videos,
right.
And so they would just like, and I think they would even have this thing where they'd be like, what videos they were going to play later in the hour,
right?
Like, they'd be like, coming up this and this and this. So you could tell, looking back, they just didn't know what they were doing.
If you watch the that thing on CNN, the 80s, where they talk about, did you watch any of that documentary?
But
they
had Rob Lowe, like,
Well, they were talking about how the British groups, was another British kind of invasion going on, because the British groups made just better videos when MTV first started. The American groups just didn't know how to make videos, or
right.
So they would just play the British videos a lot over and over.
Do you
again.
Know who specifically?
Yeah, like Duran Duran.
Oh yeah,
they would
yeah.
actually be on locales. Meanwhile, like the American groups would just be a guy with a guitar in front right. of a fucking green screen or whatever.
Yeah,
know?
It would just be a guy in the toilet. I think what it was is they weren't. Some of them were like not taking it. It was kind of like the internet of
right.
the time, where they're
yeah.
like, this isn't going anywhere. But then a thing they all got mad about was, I even saw some thing, it was some old interviews, like a press conference, and some of these rock guys were complaining that, you know, you had to be good looking now to do
right.
music. And like, I think it was like Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
Who's the uglier one?
Oates is the smaller one.
Yeah, him.
I don't want to diss Oates, but.
Yeah. I mean, Oates is fine, but he's like not, I mean, he's not exactly
he's not
like.
Not Daryl Hall.
Come yeah, on. Exactly. Yeah. But I think he was complaining, and they were like, you know, now you just have to, it's all about like your looks. And I think
right.
Madonna was there, and she was like, well, so what? Like, kind of like, that's what being a rock star is.
Right.
You got to like look good.
But they act like that was the first time that ever happened. Because
I know.
Elvis was picked because he was a good looking dude.
I know. It's yeah. just so ridiculous. I mean, showbiz, like rock, be a rock star. Be like, you know, it's all about like being good looking and people want to have sex with you. Like, right. Like, that's why you're in it.
Right.
Dude. Go fucking be an accountant, dude. I
That's
feel
why
like
Chuck Berry was never as big as Elvis, because Chuck Berry, not a bad looking guy, but. Yeah.
Right. But also, like, didn't he just die?
Yeah.
What, like 2 weeks ago?
And Chuck Barris, like in the same day, which is the weirdest thing, because I always thought those were the same guy for a while.
Well, they always die in twos, the same name, right? Isn't that the saying? They always die in twos, the same name, almost. Yeah, Chuck Barris, that was a rough one. That's the guy from The Gong Show.
Right, but he wrote that book, movie, that was the
Confessions
book.
Confessions of yeah. A Dangerous Mind. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I remember reading, the book was really cool, but you don't know if he made it
is
all
it, up. Yeah, isn't it that he did make it up? He said he was like a CIA spy.
Right, and then he hosted The Gong Show during the day, and he would murder people.
Yeah, I think he did make it up, right? Because it was like, well, when was that book?
That book they made in the 80s, but
but then
they
made the
movie.
Movie
with, yeah, Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell. Did George Clooney direct it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what's so funny? This just reminds me of something. Like, you used to be able to write books that were like, you could be like, oh, this is about my life, and it was not true, and no one would do anything. Like,
right.
like that. I think it kind of came out later that he was kind of making it up, kind of in jest.
Right.
As like a joke, kind of give his life more depth or something. He wasn't just the Gong Show guy. But did you ever read the book Sleepers?
Yes, I did. Oh, it's
did you ever see the movie?
Yeah.
Did you like the book? It's pretty funny,
right? I liked the
No, it's horrible. Yeah. It's like, it's about these kids like getting raped in prison.
Right, but they didn't change it too much I remember the movie.
No, yeah. But so it's written by this guy, Lorenzo Carcaterra, and like, it's not true. Because the story is that he's growing up in Hell's Kitchen in like, is it the 50s or 60s?
Right.
And
I don't think it was supposed to be true, was it?
No, it was. He writes it as himself, Lorenzo Carcaterra. So, I mean, it's basically a memoir. It's not a novel. Like, and it's basically like, oh, yeah, me and my friends accidentally murdered this guy. And so we had to go to, like, a reformatory. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
like a prison,
I didn't
like
know
a,
he was. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and then basically when the movie came out, people were like, someone did research, and they were like, there's no record of him ever serving time or someone getting killed in that way at that time. And he's like, yeah, well, whatever. But you can't do that now. Like, if you made a, if, and they made it into a movie, and everyone's just like, whatever. Yeah.
Well,
maybe,
you know what you do now is what you say is, if you see a movie and they go inspired by a true story. Not,
yeah.
Because if you say based, it means it's got to be kind of close. But if you say inspired.
Right.
Like, I just saw an ad for this Zookeeper's Wife.
Yeah.
Which is like, I guess, Schindler's List meets Dr. Dolittle, that type
oh,
of
oh, really?
Well, it was like they were
sounds
hiding Jews
like
in
a great
zoo.
Idea. Oh, really? Yeah. Who's in that?
Chastain. Jessica Chastain.
Oh, finally.
Anyway, though, but then I'm watching it, and I heard it was from a book, but in the movie they said inspired by a true story. And they have to say inspired.
Because
if they take so many liberties with the truth. I think you can't call it based. There's a line there where you can't say.
I think
based.
I love that inspired by a true story, because just like anything could inspire.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, what's a crazy movie? like Passengers.
Right.
Inspired by a true. Someone told me a story.
Yeah.
About when they went to the toilet. And this inspired me.
Yeah, it, because you once saw a clown.
Oh, yeah. It is coming out, too.
Oh, right.
Have you? But there was something else I wanted to say about. But with Sleepers, like, the thing was the book was such a hit book. That's why they made the movie.
Right.
But you couldn't, like, if. What ruined it was the James Frey. Do you remember him? He wrote a book called A Million Little Pieces.
Yeah, the one that was on Oprah's book club.
He's the one that ruined it for everyone because he got in so much. It was such a lie. It was about him going to drug rehab.
Yeah.
And being arrested and all this shit. And then it came out he'd never really been arrested. It just was like all made up.
Do you remember the days when you... Like that, when you got caught in a lie and then people gave a shit and it fucked up your life.
Yeah. Oh, right. Isn't that so funny? It's like that guy got just ruined. Donald Trump, I mean, just like he would just get caught in life. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, nowadays, that guy would be president.
I know.
That is amazing. That's the irony of that is right. Totally lost on me. But because it was like. They treated that guy. They vilified that guy. They destroyed. He went back on Oprah. And Oprah, I guess, this not that I
he
love.
He should have
Oprah.
Just said he was saying an alternative truth. He would have been all right.
Yeah, or like it was inspired.
Alternative facts or whatever.
Or is inspired by things he said. But I mean, that's why that got so much attention because it was because I remember I was reading it. And I was like, who gives a shit? Because. I figured it was a novel, and then I was like, right. Oh, this happened to the guy?
Yeah, it makes it a little cooler, I mean.
It does. I mean, have you ever read it?
I did read the book. I don't know.
I think it starts with, I was thinking about it the other day because I was at the dentist, because it starts with he just got dental work done with no Novocaine. Like, that's how it starts.
Oh,
or he's on a plane, and he's just had that done. And he's like bleeding. I don't know what it was something to do with drug. I don't know what happened, but like he had the whole thing is, oh, I had to go to the dentist and get all these things filled, like a root canal with no Novocaine. I don't ask. Maybe because I don't know why.
He says it's the beginning of the book.
Yeah.
To make it seem like it's more realistic. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's so crazy. Like that really happened. But then I guess. And so Oprah tried to kind of like stand by him after that. But then she kind of had to like. Throw him under the bus,
right?
Because
right.
it was fucking her up, and then so she had him on the show again because she made him into the star.
Didn't she get rid of the book club after that, or something?
Did she?
Or not? Maybe not too long after.
I mean, probably. No, I don't know. Actually, I mean, I probably heard it, but because then she had him on and then just shit on him for like the whole episode. She was like, "You're a liar," and he's like. I know, I'm sorry. Wouldn't that suck? Like, because he tried to sell that book for years and he couldn't sell it because I guess it was a novel and then he changed it to an autobiography and that's what sold it.
Right.
But then it's like, imagine, like, that would suck, right? If you get, this happens a lot, you get success, but then it gets taken away because you get it in a wrong kind of,
right.
Like Milli Vanilli, basically.
Yeah, I think years ago, there was a 10-year period where a lot of people were getting caught on that. Like, I even remember this other author who wrote, Joe McGinnis. You ever hear of him? He wrote this movie with Fatal Vision, book Fatal Vision.
Yeah. Is Joe McGinnis the guy it's based on?
No, the book.
Is he the guy who, it's based on the guy who murdered his family?
Right. They made a movie with Gary Cole.
Yeah, is Gary Cole the comedy guy now? He's the guy from Office
great.
Space?
Oh.
He's the killer in Fatal Vision,
yeah.
Right?
Now, that's a true story, and he writes a book about it. And this guy, Joe McGinnis, who he actually hung out with the actual guy, and he was going to write a piece.
So who wrote Fatal Vision? The guy who actually murdered his family?
No, this guy, Joe McGinnis.
Oh,
but
Joe
he hung
McGinnis,
out with
okay.
the murderer.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was going to write a book defending him, but then the more he hung out with the guy, they realized that the guy was...
Oh, really?
Really?
Why did he want to defend him?
Because I guess that maybe the guy lied to him and said this is how he would get access to the guy.
Oh, because with that Fatal Vision, it's basically he murdered them, but he said that it was during the whole Charles Manson hippie time, right? And he said
he murders his family, pretends that hippies did it.
Yeah, that these Charles Manson hippies did it.
And it's Joe McGinnis goes to the murderer guy, listen, I'll write a book that will clear your name.
Yeah.
And then as he's writing the book, he realizes that the guy is guilty, so he changes the book.
So he wasn't going to write that kind of book at the beginning?
No, but you might have been lying to the guy, you know?
Yeah. They always lie. I'm going to make you look like Michael Jackson, maybe I talked about before. I want to follow you around. It's going to be great. So you sleep with boys.
Yeah. But I remember, and then McGinnis wrote this other book about, I think, the Ted Kennedy or something, or the Kennedys, like in the 90s.
Yeah.
And it was a nonfiction book, but in the book, a lot of the dialogue or a lot of the...
That means true, right? Nonfiction.
Yeah, nonfiction.
That's so confusing.
Yeah. A lot of the dialogue in it is like what Ted Kennedy's thinking, you know?
Oh.
And then he did it so many times, people are like, well, how could you get into his head like that? He's like, well, I'm just extrapolating. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, then this can't be a nonfiction book if you're just kind of thinking... Well,
did it already get published by
that
point?
Yeah, it was out, and it was a non... And I think they moved it from nonfiction to fiction... Because he's just trying, he's like,
yeah.
Half the dialogue is him trying to get into Ted Kennedy's head. This is what he was thinking at this time.
Yeah.
You can't really do that in a nonfiction book.
I mean, unless it was what he was saying was just like getting drunk and trying to like rape a chick, then he was probably pretty accurate.
Right.
And then he thought, I want to get drunk and rape and murder someone. Like, yeah, he was probably thinking about that. I feel like that's what the Kennedys are just all... What can a dude, like a rich dude with power, be thinking about from minute to minute,
right,
besides just getting drunk and banging chicks?
Right, but unless you know, at least, and you don't make an estimated guess, educated guess of what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are books where they're real people, but in fictitious circumstances.
No, yeah. Like, it's like if I wrote a book about you and I was like, and then he was thinking, I just shit my pants again. Like, wait a minute. I just looked from his face. I could tell.
Yeah.
But so anyway, Sleepers, like, because every time I watch, first of all, that movie is so awful. Like, the book is really good, mm-hmm. but I don't know. If somehow they made a movie about like kids getting raped in prison boring. It's like really,
right.
It's weird. But
it's a good Kevin Bacon game because there's a lot of people in that movie.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like everyone who was huge at the time is in it. And it's amazing. And it's, what's his face? The director is really good. It's the guy who did, fuck it. It's the guy who did Rain Man. Barry Levinson.
Oh, he directed that?
So like it's, you see this every now and then where like, all the elements are there. It's one of those things where you're like, this can't miss. And
right.
then it's just somehow a perfect storm of shit. Like,
it was like a coming of age film, a little Stand By Me meets fucking
meets,
Shawshank Redemption.
Meets the Accused. No, because it's, I mean, I think it's like a lot of the movie is just the kids and the kids. I mean, I guess they're all
right.
It's just a horrible like plot. And then it's a completely, the fact that he said it was true, it's so ridiculous because I don't know if you remember the second half. What happens is these kids get raped in prison by mm-hmm. Kevin Bacon and these guards, and then they get out, and then two of them become like Irish mafia guy, like
right.
murderers because they're so screwed up from what happened.
Right.
And they see Kevin Bacon in a bar. I mean, it's a really, like, that's like a cool plot.
Yeah, they shoot him, right?
They kill him, and then Brad Pitt is a lawyer.
Brad Pitt.
And he's, this is the big thing. He's like, I'm going to prosecute this case because no one knows that we know that I know them, and I'm going to throw the case.
Right.
On purpose. But like, that's like a really, you can't do that.
No.
Like, you get in a lot of trouble for, now that I know this from law school, it's like, so you're admitting to this horrible thing. There's no way that happened. It's
right.
too like dramatic and
right.
movie-ish.
Who else is in that movie?
Jason Patrick,
right.
Robert De Niro, Dustin Hoffman,
yeah.
just like every.
Who are some of the young, the kids who've grown up?
The kids who play the
but
little
who,
kid?
Grown up, who are they?
Well, it's Brad Pitt, Jason Patrick, and then it's two guys at the time were Ron Eldar.
Oh yeah, Ron Eldar,
and Billy Crudup.
Billy Crudup, yeah.
But it was like when they were first starting.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Bacon is in it.
I mean, there's no reason for that movie not to be great.
Yeah, and I remember I saw it opening night because I'd read the book, and I was like, this is going to be amazing. And then I was like, I was like, Sleepers? What are they describing the audience? No, like, I remember being blown away, being like, wow, how was that bad? Like, that was
yeah.
a bad. Brad Pitt's kind of not in it that much. You can tell they just kind of slapped him in it.
Yeah.
And De Niro is.
Still, even if you have most of those actors in for just 10 minutes, how could that not be a great movie?
Yeah, and you can tell that it's not real because there's parts of the story that you can tell are like from other movies. Like there's a scene where they're in jail and they have this plan to challenge the guards to a football game so
yeah.
that they can hit the guards in the game. I mean, does that sound familiar to you?
Is that Longest Yard?
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly out of the Longest Yard. It's like, hey, let's have a football game with the guards, and then we can tackle them and hit them. And then, you know, they got. First of all, how was
that part where the alien pops out of his stomach?
Yeah. That part. And then the part where.
The Avengers come in?
Yeah. And then they go undercover as surfers. I was just watching that right before you got here.
Figure.
Movie's so awesome.
Is it the original?
It was the new one. Have you seen the new Point Break? It's shit. It's unwatchable. Yeah. I don't know what it. I guess I had to make it different so it's not really surfing. It's just they do everything. Oh. Like they're just supposed to be extreme. Oh, so they're okay. Like jumping out of. I guess they jump out of planes in the other one too. They're doing right. Like weird things.
100% pure adrenaline.
Yeah, it's fucking. Yeah. It's awesome. At the time, it was awesome, and then like. Yeah, the remake is. I'm not even kidding. I've tried to watch. It's unwatchable. Yeah. I mean, because the whole thing of Point Break is like it's partly because it's so stupid, and Keanu Reeves is supposed to be this like FBI guy,
right?
Who's like I can't. Who doesn't want to be a surfer? But he's like this total guy who sounds like a surfer. This is the thing I've ever told you. This one thing I love about that movie because he wasn't originally cast. It was Charlie Sheen.
Oh wow!
And not that he's like a million times better or anything, but like there's things in the script that describe Keanu Reeves' character that don't fit what Keanu Reeves is doing.
Right. Like get AIDS.
Wait, what?
Oh, you're talking about Charlie Sheen. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, but like throughout the whole script, do you remember this? They keep being like Patrick Swayze is like, you got that kamikaze look, Johnny. Like I could tell the first time I saw your eyes. And then the girl he's dating is like, Johnny, you got that look of determination in your eyes. She even says that one boy, like, you always have this determined look in your eyes, like you're doing this as some kind of project. But whenever they show him when they're saying it, he always just looks stoned and like stupid. Like they're like, Johnny, you got that kamikaze look, and they show him and he's just like it's like no, he just looks dumb. Yeah. Like he just looks like he's not
he just
smart.
Has the same vacant look.
Yeah, he time. Always Keanu just always has the same look.
You're looking so angry. Same thing, right?
Yeah, like he doesn't. You can tell because the character's supposed to be like, oh, he's this guy who's really straight and narrow, right. FBI guy, and then he gets a little taste of like spirituality, and it's like this part of him comes out, but he never looks different.
So this is the movie where Patrick Swayze wants to kill himself at the end by surfing the biggest wave in the world.
Yeah,
and then he just dies.
Yeah, and I feel like I didn't understand that the first time I saw it. I mean, I was probably like 19 or 20. I was like, I don't understand what happened. Like, right. So he went out there, and then, because then he goes out, and then they're like, you let him go. And he's like, they're like, we'll get him when he comes back in. He's like, he's not coming back in. That's like my best imitation, yeah. I could do is Keanu Reeves. That's because I sound like him.
And then he like throws it on hit down everything. Like he throws his gun down, right? He's like, I'm done with this, right? I'm out of the FBI.
Yeah, he quits the FBI in the rain. It's so dramatic. You can tell time has passed because his hair is a little longer. Do you remember?
Yeah.
He's like, so I followed you. First of all, like, he's like, I've been following you for a year. It's like, why? This guy, like, robbed a bank. I know. You guys in the FBI. Like, don't you have other shit to do?
Well, apparently the FBI is not on top of their shit these days.
We got to find him if you check the beach. I'll go look for him again. Imagine if, like, you're just so... I'm really dedicated to this case.
Imagine they're doing... I bet they're doing that now instead of, like, looking into Russia connections, treason and stuff. They're looking into, like, surfers and, you know.
Right, right. Or, like, porn. Like, did you ever see 8mm?
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, I have to, like, go and find out about porn. Sorry, honey.
Cage sounds like Keanu.
Yeah. Well, they all kind of sound that way. But yeah, wasn't that thing? He's like, oh, I gotta go to LA and like shop for porn, honey. Sorry, your daughter misses you. Oh, this is the case. She just walks in and I'm whacking off. I'm doing research. This is work related. No, so anyway, how do we
get there from here? From Barry Manilow?
I don't know, yeah. Barry Manilow. Yeah. Oh, so Sleepers. Yeah. That's just what blew me away about. This is a funny. Story that made me, it's not a great story, but I, like years ago, I, you know, before I did stand up, I was like interested in like acting and I kind of, and I met this dude, I worked at a store and this guy came in and it was like, you know, so that store Paragon, it was like a sporting goods store.
Yeah, it's still there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still there. Yeah. I was working there and this guy came up to me and like asked me for help to find something and I was just like in a bad mood and I was just like... He's like, oh, yeah, do you have these in another size? I was like, no. because I just didn't want to help him. Right. I was like, no. Like, I mean, we probably did, but I went to look for them. And then I was like, oh, he's like, yeah, I'm going to L.A. So anyway, he was this actor guy. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, I studied acting. He's like, oh, yeah, give me your name. Like, I'll take you to my agent. And so, like, I was like, all right. And he tried to, like, hook me up with his agent. And then I, like, looked him up. And he told me all these movies he did. And he had done, like, all these movies.
Right.
He was in, like, The Professional.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that?
He just hooked you up from meeting you in the store.
I know. He probably might have banged me looking back. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
I think that's, come on.
But he was, like, really, and, like, I'd studied acting with this teacher, and he was like, oh, I studied with her.
Right.
I don't know why he wanted to help me. We, like, hit it off. So he was really nice. Yeah. I guess he wanted to, I don't know. So, like.
That's okay. I mean, that's how it works.
It's just funny looking back. I had no, I didn't think that at all. I feel like that's happened to me so many times where I'll tell someone a story about, oh, this person helped me. And they're like, yeah, they wanted to fuck you. I'm like, no, they just wanted to help me. Like, no, they would not just help people
do that.
Well,
think about how many random guys you've helped.
Yeah.
And now think about how many at least random girls you say you were going to help or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, come on.
That's true. Yeah.
Just because in this case, he didn't even see you do anything.
Except just be
a dick to him.
I know.
So,
but I mean, it was funny.
It's not like he saw your acting like, this guy's the next thing.
No, I wasn't even doing stand-up at the time. I think I was like 22. And so he tried to, I don't think it really went anywhere. So then like, I didn't see him for a year. And I started doing stand-up and I was on a train. And he was like on the I was going to do a gig. I was with Joey Gay. I don't know why I remember this so well. We were going to do like the brokerage. And I've been doing stand-up like 6 months. And he was on the train. And I was like, oh, hey, what's up, man? Like, I met you at Paragon or whatever. And he was like, yeah. He was like such a dick to me.
Oh.
So anyway, he's in Sleepers. So I was watching it the other night. And I was like, oh, that's the guy. So then anyway, he was a total dick to me.
Because you didn't fuck him. That's why.
Well, see, I didn't realize this at the time, but I did. Now the story's like coming together.
Right.
So then, like, I moved to LA and I got into stand up. Then I moved back here and I'd been doing stand up like 4 or 5 years, and I was at an open mic. And there was like 10 people there, and he was at the open mic, and he was like, got up there. He's like, yeah, I'm trying to get into stand up. And da da da. And I didn't reintroduce myself.
Smart.
But it was one of those things where like he was really uncomfortable, and like I was known at the place, and I was kind of doing well in comedy. I could have been nice to him, and I was like, fuck this guy. It's not that great a story, but.
No, it is. Because I think at the time you don't realize that. I don't know why I'm exploring that angle more. Maybe it's because.
Trying to fuck me, Plart.
The Barry Manilow stuff is, you know, bringing out the gay issues here, but because I remember when I was younger, when I first started comedy, and there was like, so it was an older dude who was helping me out with some things. And I'm like, he must really think I'm talented. You know, I don't think he ever even saw me.
Yeah.
And then it was, you know, he's helping me out, and then all of a sudden one day he
must
like,
just sense my talent.
Then one day he's like, you want to do yoga with me?
Yeah.
I was like, well, I don't really do yoga. He's like, no, it's good if we do it together. It would just be me and you. We'll be like sweating in a fucking room. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I want to do that.
It'll just be me and you sweating in a room. Is that yoga? It'll just be me and you with no. It's called this new time. It's called this new type. It's called pantless yoga.
So, and then I kind of said no, proud of respect. And then he was like kind of a dick to me.
So got the chloroform.
Yeah.
I had that happen a couple times in the
industry.
But he
was a dick to me after. So.
He was, yeah. That's just, I mean. I guess I just didn't even dawn it. He didn't seem gay, but I have no gaydar. Mm. You know, like I guess, but even though with no gaydar, Barry Manilow wasn't a shock.
He snuck through.
Yeah, no, I mean Barry Manilow. I'm like, yeah, no, I it's not surprising.
But what makes
gay.
You come out at that age, though?
I don't know. I think just probably attention. I almost think it's kind of like.
Well, they're from the older generation, and I understand it. Like I think I told you the guy, David Odkin Stiers, who was on.
Yeah, what about him, Mash?
He came out when he was like 80.
He's gay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Better Off Dead.
Great yeah. Movie. And, well, MASH. You know, MASH, I grew up watching. My parents loved it. My dad was in the Korean War.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's why. I literally was, like, forced from, like, age 5 to watch MASH.
Right.
And I think I got into it. It is. Do you watch MASH?
Well, I've seen it sometimes now on TV.
Do you like it?
You know, it's holding up a little better than I thought.
Yeah. Because I feel like no one from my, I loved it, and no one from my age group liked it.
No, it was because it wasn't that funny. It was more of a dramedy. It was like really the first dramedy. It really
was. Yeah, it is funny though.
Yeah.
Actually, the writing is really funny.
The early years.
The first three, it It stays funny for a little bit, but it's like I was watching it today. It's there's a new thing where they play it like for like 5 hours a day now. So I'm not even kidding.
Right.
I watched like 5 episodes today. It's just one of those, you know, like a, you have like a thing that you know from like when you're young that's like comforting.
Right.
Like having that on makes me feel safe or something. Which is odd because it's about people being killed in a war.
Right.
I'm like, oh, this is safe.
The best part about that show, not only did it go on for 11 years and the Korean War was three,
yeah,
but it was in the 70s. So they're supposed to be in the Korean War, but everyone has 70s hair in it.
Yeah.
You know, like fucking that guy BJ.
Well, he changes as the style changes into the 70s. He has like a mustache.
Right, but it's supposed to be 1953. Yeah. And he looks like, you know, the only, he's in the Allman Brothers.
Eye.
Yeah. And that's, which is fine, because they actually, if you do see that, they do that in a lot of shows. If you see the old Happy Days, right? Especially from the mid to late
70s. Oh, yeah.
Like fucking, this is supposed to be like 1958, Ralph Malf. That
has
guy's
like
an
afro. Yeah, no, that's true. I never thought about that. But that's what's funny about MASH. Yeah, because the actual war was 3 years. So, and they were in, you know, drafted, most of them.
Right.
So they probably had to be there for a year, year and a half at best. And,
I mean, Hawkeye actually starts the show not gray, and then he's completely gray by the end of
the show. And Radar is supposed to be like 18, because they keep referring to him as like, oh, you're such a kid. And literally by the end, he's like 35 years old.
He's like
and he's
bald.
Like balding. they finally just got rid of, they're like, you have to get off the show.
Yeah.
I think, apparently he was like a dick, that guy.
I read
Gary
that.
Berghoff.
Yeah.
Which is really weird, because he's supposed to be like all wholesome and innocent in the show. And oh, he's such a great guy, but like off the show, he was supposed to be like this total asshole that the writers couldn't stand.
And I think he was probably mad that he was being typecast. But once you do that role, he was in the movie. The only one.
Yeah,
he was
in the movie. Yeah,
that he could never do anything else.
I know. It's so funny when you hear them like bitch about that. Like, I'm being typecast. It's like, dude, you were on the biggest show of all time at the time for 10 years.
Yeah.
Just fucking pack it in, dude. Yeah. Just go like. You know how, like, rare that is?
Yeah. You know what I was reading? I don't know why. The guy Harry Morgan, because I think he died a year ago.
Yeah, he died. Yeah, he looked like he was, like, 80 when the show was on.
He was always old.
Yeah, he's one of those. There's some people. David Ogden Stiers was the same way. He looked like he was, like, 60 when he was, like, 35
right,
on MASH.
But, like Wilford Brimley and Harry Morgan were always old. I mean, Harry Morgan was, like, on
He was like a child.
He was like on Dragnet in the 60s.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
Remember watching that? He's older than that.
He looks exactly the same. Yeah. But the writing on MASH is really, it's good. It's really good writing. And you can see from a comedy perspective. Like, I was watching it today, and there was a line that stood out to me where I was like, wow, that's like a clever line.
Yeah.
Like, he goes, like Charles, David Ogden Stiers, Winchester, like comes back from like Tokyo, and he has all these pictures of him drunk, and they're like, oh, this woman is in a picture with you. Oh, you can't see her face. And then BJ's like, of course, she doesn't want to be charged with contributing to the delinquency of a major, because he's Major Winchester. And I was like, wow, that's like a really clever line.
Was that Hawkeye said that line?
No, it was BJ.
Oh,
usually right. Hawkeye got all the good lines, but I was like, wow, they really like put a lot into writing.
Right.
This.
I think some of the problem with the people had with the show was that in the early years, it was just like the movie. They were just crazy doctors. Then when Alan Alda got more control of the show, every show was a little more serious. It was like, you know, in the beginning, they're all cheating on their wives. You know,
and
they're all calling her hot lips.
Right.
And then later on, because he was a big feminist, Alan Alda, he changed
it
up. Where he would still sleep around, but he would be very caring when he slept around.
Right. That was a big thing.
And then none of them cheated on their wives, apparently, after that, you know?
Well, they brought in people like, well, the dynamic that's so great at the beginning, the first 3 years, is it's Hawkeye and Trapper.
Yeah, and Colonel Blake.
Yeah, and it's mainly Hawkeye and Trapper versus Frank and Hot Lips.
Right.
Because Frank and Hot Lips are really military, and they're total assholes.
Right.
And Hawkeye and Trapper, like, the dynamic of the show is they're always trying to fuck over Frank and Margaret.
Right.
So they always come up with these hilarious things to fuck them. And it's, like, mean. Like, mean things. Like, there's one where, like, They do all these pranks to Frank, and then like he wants to leave, and then they don't want him to leave because they want to like torture him. So they like pretend that they found gold near the camp, And they know he's like a very like greedy and into money, and so he cancels his transfer, and then he goes to like look for the gold, and they've spray painted all these rocks just gold, and then they show up in a gold painted Jeep just to be like dicks to him.
Right.
But it was mean. And then what happened was Trapper leaves the show. And then Henry dies, right. And then Frank leaves, and then so it's like Winchester, BJ, Colonel right. Potter.
Well, McLean Stevenson left because they
Hello Larry.
Yeah, no, because he was actually kind of a big star. He was actually subbing for Johnny on the Tonight Show.
Oh, really?
He was like a big deal, and he felt annoyed that he was like only the third lead on the show.
Oh, yeah.
So
what
he
an
left.
Idiot.
Yeah, and he left, and I think they wanted to send a message to the other cast members. If you leave, there's no coming back.
Right. So you're dead.
He wasn't supposed to be killed off, and at the last minute they did just to fuck him, just so he wouldn't want to come back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did he even know he was like...
No, that was like a surprise. They wanted to surprise the cat. I just read about this.
Yeah, that's what I've read, that they... when that scene, that episode was on like 3 days ago.
And he
Such
was
a
like
good
before
episode.
Shelley Long, like the perfect example of a guy... Totally destroyed his career.
Yeah,
that show.
He went to do Hello Larry.
Right. I don't even think that was the first thing he did. Like, I think that was another thing. He went to like three things that failed
before Hello Larry.
Yeah, but he was Johnny Carson's backup.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so like I've heard this before. These people, they're like the third lead, and they're like, I want to be the lead. It's like, dude, you're in the best position. The third lead is like the perfect position.
Right.
It's not all on your shoulders. You just show up every now and then, be hilarious, and leave.
Like all those cast members on The Office, like after Carell left, none of the others left because they knew that this was a great show and fuck it, you know?
Right. Why do you need to be in every fucking... It was like Seinfeld was smart. He wasn't like, it has to be all me. He was like, yeah, I'm not going to be able... Why do you want to be just the only person?
No.
Because I would... This reminds me of another... Do you know who like... Dean Cameron is? He's
Sounds
an actor from the 80s. He was in Summer School.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember him in Summer School? He's Chainsaw.
Oh, yeah. He's funny in that.
He's really funny in it. And that's a pretty good movie, Summer School. And I don't know. I saw an interview with him recently, like on the Kevin Pollak chat show. And he was in like Ski School.
Yeah.
So what happened was he like did Summer School and he got all this heat. And then he kind of made all these bad movies. One of them is called like Rockula.
Right. How could that be a bad movie?
Yeah. But in the interview, he's like, I took it because I wanted to be like the lead guy and carry a movie. And... It's just kind of like I watched part of it recently and it's just like so low budget. It's just not good.
Right.
And I think he like in the interview is like, well, I like the movie. It's stupid, but whatever. But it's just you can tell like things like that.
Which brings us back to Kevin Bacon. So this is like story is like kind of a meta 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Is Kevin Bacon in?
No, but I was actually just reading about Kevin Bacon, how he was smart. He did the opposite thing. He was leads in movies.
Right.
Then the roles were kind of drying up. So he's like, you know what? I'll be the second or third banana
right.
in a great movie.
Like A Few Good Men.
And a million, like Apollo 13.
Right.
Fucking all these. Even Sleepers, I mean, wasn't a great movie, but... At the time, it seemed like it was going to be a good one.
Right, and he's, like, actually one of the bigger parts of the adult actors. He's the one that's, like, the main
right.
part.
But that's what he does now. He's, like, the second or third guy in usually a good movie.
Right, which is, like, do you want that, or do you want to be the lead in fucking The Air Up There, or, like, Quicksilver? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just, like, no, I have to be the...
Yeah, Bacon was just in one of the X-Men movies. He doesn't
and
care.
And it just kind of like, I guess, like Woody Harrelson did that too. He just was like, yeah, I'm going to be in good movies, but I'm not going to be the main guy. But it's like, when I heard this interview with Dean Cameron, I'm like, you had the perfect setup. Like, you probably could have just been like the third or fourth guy in movies. You wouldn't have been the star, but who gives a shit?
Right.
It wouldn't have been like a terrible movie. Why do you want to be the lead in a shit movie? Like, if it's a shit movie, why do you even want to be in it, much
right.
less be the face of it? You know, I don't know. It's just kind of, I've always thought that. Like, I read somewhere once, I forgot who said, some actor said that, like, the perfect place to be in the credits is number three.
Yeah.
Where you're not, you're one of the main people. Like, Vince Vaughn, and, you know, always go back to, but, like, in Swingers, he's not the star of Swingers.
No. Plus, and when you're in that role, things always happen. Two things. If the movie's good, they'll be like, oh, he stands out. Like, he stole
the movie. Stole it. Right. Yeah, that's the thing, too.
Right. And if the movie's bad, they'll say, well, the movie was bad, but his scenes were good. And
yeah.
he was not really responsible. you know, as much as he could do, he could not save this movie.
Right. It's like kind of like headlining and featuring.
Right.
Because headlining, like, they'd be like, he wasn't that good. Yeah. All the pressure's on you. And then they'll be like, the feature was better. Like, I've had that where, like, I'll open for someone. And they're like, you were better. Yeah.
Feature's the best spot to be on.
I know. I'm like, well, I only had to do half an hour, and you expected nothing from me. Yeah.
And it was early in the show. You were less drunk, right. Less tired.
Early in the show. Yeah, it's the headliner, you're just set up to fail. They're like, you're not good. And it's like, yeah, I did an hour, you fucking asshole. Right. Was there something else? I know we had, like, planned to talk about things.
That's all right.
But,
this is a bridge. We haven't been on in a few weeks.
Well, do you want to... I was going to say, did you ever play that game, 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Well, that's what we bring it up, because I didn't even know this. Do you know this, that if you Google an actor and you write Bacon number after it, it tells you exactly how many steps and what movies.
Oh, really?
On Google.
Can we play that right now?
Sure.
So what is it? You name an actor and you have to link them back?
Yeah, just...
test me. I think I'll be really good at it.
All right. Well, give me an...
Do me first. Well, all right. How, Shelley Long.
All right. Shelley Long.
But you can't look it up. Are you looking
it
up?
I am looking it up.
I want you doing your own.
Oh, I'm not that good at this game.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it takes me a while.
Yeah, you're not that good if you don't look it up.
Wait, Shelley Long. I got it.
Actually, Shelley, that's a really easy one.
Was in Losing It with Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise, Few Good Men.
Okay, right. That was easy.
All right, how about...
I thought that'd be a hard one.
Let's try one more.
She was probably in a movie with Kevin Bacon.
How about Zac Efron?
Okay.
I'm going to let you figure it out. I'm going to look it up.
You're going to look it up. Yeah. I'm going to do one, but I think it's going to be really circuitous how I get there. No, this is extremely easy. Zac Efron was in Bad Grandpa with Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro was in Sleepers with Kevin Bacon. Right? He was in some movie with Dirty Grandpa, right?
Dirty Grandpa, yeah. But weird is it doesn't even have that. Maybe because the movie's too new.
I'm pretty sure, right?
I Zac think you're Efron. Right. Yeah. They talk about...
the movie's so bad. They were in this...
they were... Corbin Blue was in High School Musical, Corbin Blue, and Kevin Bacon were in a movie called Beyond All Boundaries.
Corbin Blue? Who is that a person?
Well, anyway, it's fun to do. Just see the number.
Yeah. So, two. I think you could probably do two at this point because there's been so much out there.
Yeah.
Right? All right. Wait, can you do one more? All right, Scott Baio. No, no, no. Willie Ames.
There you go. All right, this will be the last one.
Willie. No, there's going to be more.
I'm going to bore the listeners.
No, this people like this shit.
What do you think, listeners? Answer like, now.
If you like this game or
no, if what? They, I want, this is your chance to guess.
Because the whole game, the competition comes in who can do it with less steps, right?
Yeah.
Are you looking up Willie Ames?
Yeah, it doesn't even...
Yeah, I know that makes the game a lot easier. I can do it.
Oh, go ahead then. Why am I doing this?
Willie Ames, he was in... I mean, I feel like he wasn't in anything except Scott Baio, right?
Right, wasn't he in the movie where they're playing video games or something?
Zapped. No, that's not the video game. It's like, do you know what that movie's about?
Oh, all right, here we go.
Do you have it? No, but let me see if I can do it. You have it on there?
Yeah, you're not going to get it because I don't know the movie that they're talking about.
How many steps does it
take
on there? Two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was in...
I'll even give you a hint.
What?
This the actor that he's in the movie with is Stephen First, who played who?
That's Flounder from Animal House?
Right. Kevin Bacon, that's his first movie as Animal House.
Oh, right. And then Willie Ames was in something with Stephen First.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great fucking movie. Stephen First and Willie Ames. Not Up the Creek, right? No.
Scavenger Hunt, 1979. Looks like a bad Animal House knockoff.
19
too.
What?
79. Yeah, it's like when they were making like all these Animal House knockoffs.
Yeah,
like they actually use people from Animal House.
Yeah, that's like Shameless. No, it's not like Animal House. We're just going to... Yeah, Stephen First was in another... He was in Up the Creek.
Right.
that was another like Animal House, because it was the same thing that happened. I mean, it's everything with Hollywood. Like after Die Hard, it was like, oh, Die Hard on a plane. Mm. So this, the pitch was, oh, it's Animal House on a river.
Right.
It's Animal House in college.
Right. I think Die Hard on.
They're like, no, we did that.
And Die Hard on the water, or not in the water, was on a raft, was the River Wild.
Oh, yeah,
with
yeah.
Kevin Bacon.
That's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
That's if you never need the Meryl Streep connection.
Oh, yeah, right? Meryl Streep's in that, of all fucking people. The River Wild. The river. Yeah, so that's basically it. Was there anything? We'll wrap this up, because you just made a notion. It's fine. You have to go do a show?
Yeah, I got to do a show. So.
Where? Greenwich Comedy Club?
Somewhere, yeah.
I'm doing this Friday. I'm going to be on Sirius XM, John Fugelsang.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Tell me everything.
You're on Friday?
Yeah. Is that not on Friday?
No, I think they might do movie stuff on Friday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they have me on.
Maybe that might be why they're having you on the Friday.
I think the last time I did it was on a Friday. It was because of my movie.
Yeah, well, maybe your friend might say that. They're friends with what's her. She might know that
Carolina.
Yeah,
she's on it a lot, right?
I think she does the Fridays.
Is what's his face on it like as a regular now?
Frank Conniff.
Yeah, Frank Conniff.
Yeah, he's funny, really funny dude.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
From Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah.
Did I tell you? Yeah, I did that. I did that with him once. Mystery Science Theater, like live.
Oh,
at a
wow.
Movie. Yeah, that was kind of surreal.
That is cool.
That was awesome. He like paid us a lot of money. I mean, no, but like, you know, like $150 just to go to a movie.
That's a good deal.
With a microphone and just talk over the movie.
Yeah, there's harder ways to make
people
a
movie. People are like, that was great. You know, usually if you just do that in a movie, people don't like it. So, yeah, and then I'm doing the Anthony Kumia show in 2 weeks. Have you ever done that show?
Kumia,
yeah.
Yeah, no.
You should do it.
Yeah.
I'll hook you up.
I should be on the Tonight Show, too.
Yeah, I'll hook you up with that, too. Okay.
All right.
Well, thanks a
lot. We'll be back next week. We'll get into...
We'll do it again.
More Barry Manilow.
More Kevin Bacon. Okay. Thanks a lot. See you next time.